Welcome to Ever Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Greetings, greetings, July 19th, July the 20th, in fact, 2014. Apparently quite an important day. What's interesting is we're getting to, messages from some old friends. And today on my show I have a couple of definitely lovely old friends, both from this life and probably from many previous lives. So in an hour's time, we're going to be joined by Katie Galanti. But for the next hour, I'm very overjoyed to have you on. Dr. Ms. Sam Muggsy. Hurrah! I haven't got the audience. Hello.
You're so funny. Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's great to have you back, and you know, because you were the it was your impetus that started all these radio stations. So I just want to put some kudos your way. The delightful, the insightful Doctor. Is it Ms. Doctor or Dr. Ms. Sam Muggsy? What is it?
I just dropped the Ms. and go Dr. Sam Muggsy now.
Ah, Dr. Muggsy. How's that feel?
Feels great. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of stress. It was a lot of digging and research and deadlines and pressure. And now that I'm done, wow, do I appreciate free time.
Yeah.
Flopping on the couch and just watching a TV show and not having anything in the back of your mind like, oh my God, I got that chapter to write or read and I got those six papers to write. I mean, I can now flop on the couch, eat some organic popcorn and just enjoy a movie with nothing in my head but pure ecstasy. It's fun.
Oh, that's brilliant. So you've kind of been through this kind of mill of pressures how's your family? Is everybody fine down at Ed?
Yeah, we're all adjusting and trying to figure out what our next move is going to be. I think everybody's in the same predicament where we have no choice. People have free will, and there are people all around us that are checking out. And I know, like myself, I'm a healer. I'm also intuitive. I can read people's thoughts. I'm an empath. And so I pretty much know when somebody is destroying themselves. I see it with my neighbors. I see it all around me. And the healer in me wants to jump in and go, no, 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 let me save you. Let me protect you. And we can't. One of the things that I was shown is that we can only control what's inside of us, internally. That's what we're responsible for, is us, internally, our thoughts, our beliefs, and what we're manifesting for us. We can reach out to somebody else, we can assist them, but we cannot get involved. And if we try to take control, or if we try to dominate a situation to protect them because we love them, you're going to be shocked at how many coincidences or synchronicities will be put in place to stop you. And it's not your job. It's your job to allow people to choose which path they want to experience. And if they want to take themselves off this planet, even though we love them and we hate to see them go, but we have to honor what other people choose for their lives, no matter what extreme it may be, and appreciate what they're going through or what they're going to experience. And that is probably one of the most challenging aspects of today's society, is just allowing people and loving them anyway for the choices that they're making.
You know, I think that works on just about every single level there, Sam. And what you're talking about is indeed the meaning behind the old Prime Directive of don't interfere with somebody else's evolution, even if you want to protect them. I mean, one of the urges that we have with somebody that we love is that we want to protect them. We want to use our superior knowledge to help them. However, they have the same superior knowledge. They're just not acknowledging it. And one of the lessons are is the lessons of being able to listen to the knowledge that we already have, as opposed to the things that we've been told, which over the last 4 years, you and I have been digging, forking, digging, sorting, looking at truth, seeing what is true and what is not true. And it turns out that everything that you see on TV is the opposite of truth. All these people that we're seeing now, who we used to believe, who we're told to believe were whiter than white, better than good, righteous, turn out to be worse than evil. So this is the lesson that we all need to learn. And the only way we can learn it is by turning off the TV, or the TV breaks down, or, you know, facing ourselves, living with ourselves for a while. What is it like to live with ourselves without any more distraction? What happens when you take all the distractions away, eh?
That's very accurate. And the other thing that I have learned, because I drop out of sight, you know that, I drop out of sight for months at a time, because what I'm doing is I'm going into myself, and I'm working with my own higher self, and I have a council of eight that works with helping us all grow with our consciousness. And they're a Palladian, very beneficial group. I've never talked about them before, so this is the first time I'll let everybody know. They're very benevolent. They're very sophisticated. They're extremely intelligent. And in order for me to communicate with them, I have to keep pursuing education so I can grasp more of what they're saying. That's why I have so many degrees, and why I keep educating myself, is because this panel of eight is extremely intelligent. They have multiple, anywhere from 5 to 10 PhD levels of education in different arenas. And their sole purpose as a panel of eight is only to assist the consciousness on this planet and the people that want to integrate it, and find ways or loopholes to provide information for the people that really want it. And there are multiple people like me on the planet right now that are doing this, and we each have our own flair, our own style, our own color about us, and we'll only attract those that are ready for us or resonate with us. Otherwise, they'll go to somebody else, and that's okay, as long as people have an option, and that's what we're here for. This whole paradigm, or this matrix, is set up as a game. It's just a learning experience. We can go into the dark if we prefer, or we can pull out of the light. It depends on what people want to experience and what they want to invest their lives in. What I have found is that you have the negative, like you said, the dark cabal and all the stuff that we've been researching and exposing. Then you have the New Age movement that's all love and light and don't look at the dark, and that's not accurate either, because where we find our power is in the middle, in the zero point frequency. And that's why the dark Kabbalah is actually paid a lot of money for the New Age movement or for the Dark Age and the fear and the hysteria and all that, is because they try to move us away from the zero point energy where our frequency is going to be the hardest hit for creating or manifesting our reality. And the two powers that we really have is, one, the love frequency, also the laughter frequency. In, as we're seeing the truth and what's being evolved in front of our face or being shown to us, you know, we learn about it and we go through stages where first it's fear, and the only reason why you have fear is because you don't understand it. So the more you can learn about what's going on, you can desensitize that fear, and then you go through anger. Well, then you realize that you were the shpopo that actually put yourself in that position. You didn't have to. If you look at your choices, we've all migrated into dust piles, if you will. And that was all for our experience. And the other thing that I've really gotten to appreciate is the limitations that my family, my friends, institutions have put me into, like this invisible cage of limitations, and literally brainwashed me. And it's so exciting and fun when you finally stop and go, wait, what limitations am I thinking now? Every time you come across a choice, you stop yourself and you go, am I limiting myself? Well, where did that come from? How can I break through? And once you start breaking through of these limitations that we've been brainwashed with, life becomes fun. You start loving it. You start laughing at some of the ridiculous stuff that we have created in our own world, and it puts you in command of manifesting what you do want. And that is where your power is in the zero-point frequency. Or it's in between the duality. You don't want to be on the dark. You don't want to be on the light. I mean, if you want to try it, go ahead. But where, if you really want to create a new reality of a golden age, peace, prosperity, you will put yourself into that middle area of zero-point frequency. And as you walk forward, keep making choices. Ask yourself, what is limiting me? What is going to open me up? What is going to make me the highest good for me or make me happiest? And when you keep following that, it's like golden Easter eggs, that you're going to be following these stepping stones to the life that you do want. You can glance over at what you don't want, but don't spend a lot of time there. You really want to focus to what you do want. And that is that balance, that zero-point frequency of empowerment and co-creation.
The very interesting use of this. Let's go to the zero point. Let's just discuss that for a second, because from what I can see, one of the great lessons that we get in our lives is this energy which is called disappointment or disillusion. Because what you, at that point, you have, you know, your fantasies have met with reality. And your fantasies is like reality one, fantasy naught. That you have used an energy that is inappropriate, swinging that energy to try and achieve your aim, when actually what would happen is the universe will just do it all by itself if you don't interfere. And the big lesson is to learn not to interfere.
No, that's not true, because, oh, I can hear myself.
Yep.
What happens if you just sit on your laurels and expect the universe to do everything, is that you're not empowering yourself. It's the same principle as waiting for a Virgin Mary to come and rescue you, or Muhammad, or Jesus, and those concepts can lead you right into the New World Order traps. You never, ever, ever, ever give your power away to anyone, any concept, anything. The power is always within. You never allow alleged, because the grays are creating these false matrixes all the time that is supposed to be, oh, it's universe. No, you do it within. And that is the safest way. Now, if you're looking at something, let's say that maybe was disheartening to you, well, you need to stop and go, why was it disheartening? So I need an example, and then I'm going to walk you through this whole process of how we can appreciate where we were and pole vault into becoming co-creators instead of victims. So give me one of your examples, JP.
Well, of a disappointment. Hang on a second. What I was going to say, Sam, is that at that point of disillusion, there's the energy is not in motion anymore. There is no emotion in the charge, and that's the zero point. That's when you've now got a choice. Well, what can I do about this? And then
No, that's not exactly right.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about, for instance, a disappointment where you thought something about, you know, you fall in love with somebody and they don't love you. You know, that sort of one level of that what I'm talking about. You want something that is actually somebody else's choice to happen for you. And you can't, that's out of line.
Say
I fell in love with you, Sam, and but you're in love with Johnny over there. Let's try and find a neutral name. You're in love with somebody else, and you have no interest in me. But I'm thinking, oh, Sam, she's my one. She's the one. I've always been waiting for her. And there's going to come to a point, hopefully sooner than later, when, you know, I'm going to have to find out, well, you know, and you say, well, no, never in a million years. And I have to then deal with the fact that I've had a non-reality going on. And that reality was charged by my desire to find the one. And so at that point of knowing, I've got, that's the zero point, and you've got the choice there to go either into self-pity, as you say, or you can use that and see what, use it as a lesson, and to see what it was, where you took the wrong approach to something. That's what I mean by disillusionment and disappointment.
Okay, I see where you're going. Number one is, I'm going to put another layer on top of this. First of all, you're right, is that once you get back to the point where this person doesn't want me and you're now freed up, you're back at the zero point where you're beginning again. But let me go back to the fact that, okay, you're in love with me, but I'm in love with somebody else, so I'm not reciprocating. You made the mistake by externally saying, Sam doesn't want me, this isn't working, Sam is not into me, Sam, blah, blah. That's external. That's wrong. You need to go internal and go, what is it about me that wanted Sam? Was it Sam because she was already spoken for and it was a safe way to have a placeholder for my love attention? Because you would be shocked at how many people do that. Shocked. So many of my clients who are doing relationship readings, they find a placeholder as somebody that they can say, oh, this is the guy I'm in love with, so that they don't have to have that person in their life and they can do what they need to do. But when their friends ask them, well, why don't you have I do have a love interest. It's this guy, but he's married. I mean, we see it all the time. So, but if you go internally and say, all right, I was attracted to the outer image of Sam, because you really don't know me. you don't know if I burp or if I have female problems or if I'm throwing my dental floss on the floor or if I'm a slob, or you don't know anything about me. All you see is this self-created image that you made in your mind that says, I'm in love with that. So what I'm mirroring to you, we have to learn how to work with those mirrors. What I am mirroring to you is what you want for your twin flame and your happily ever after. So the empowerment comes from identifying what you want at that zero point frequency and manifesting what you want with your, because you've already imaginated what you want in a relationship or in a woman. It's an ideology that you projected on Sam. But Sam isn't really that person. It's you. I am projecting to you as a mirror to get you to see what you really want in a woman. And then once you take that, once you know, and once you identify it's not Sam, it's what I'm seeing inside, then that's when the magic can happen. Because now you're at the zero point frequency, you appreciate the mirror that I reflected for you, and you're in the middle of that zone, and now you can go straight out and find that person with a focus, with an intent, with empowerment, and with courage, because you now know that's what you want. And that is the fastest way we're going to start finding the people that we do want in our lives. Get it?
Totally. So what about people that come into your lives and are an annoyance to you? What's the quality that's being reflected there?
Good question, because that's the way we need to start looking at. Number one is you have to ask yourself, why am I with this individual that's an annoyance? I do it all the time. And so I have to stop and say, all right, what mirror is that person showing me about myself that I need to learn? And it could be something like a boundary that you never had before. And I can give you an example. Here's a really good one. In my town, for some whatever reason, we have a lot of bipolar people. And I've never had exposure to bipolar people at all. I had no idea how their brain works or what their behaviors were or anything. And what happened to me, not once, but quite a few times, is because I'm a healer, I wear my heart on my sleeve. I mean, if somebody's in pain, I'm just, boom, I'm gone. I'm not even thinking about protecting myself. I'm out to heal. So a bipolar person, what they do is they always have a control gimmick to pull you in. And 9 times out of 10, it's that they have a health problem. Poor me. So I can be sucked in so easy because I'm automatically wanting to heal these people, and they just use and abuse me. Then they move into the next zone, which is then they want to control and manipulate you. When you put your foot down and say, no, you're not going to tell me who my friends are. No, you're not going to tell me when to wake up or when to go to bed. No, you're not going to call me 10 times a day. Then they become psychopaths, and they'll just volatile, and they blackmail you, and they start slamming you and doing horrible things. So I had to look at, all right, why am I attracting this? Well, what I came up with, and it, you have to go into your own head, and it could be different for everybody, but why I was attracting it is because I had lousy boundaries when it came to healing. And what we all have to learn is that there are two types of people. And this is just my analogy. We have the 3D box of rocks that are the sheeples that are still using those 3D paradigms to manipulate and control and sabotage and scam people. And then we have the 5D consciousness people that are into this reciprocal and appreciative and respective energy. And we reciprocate it. We give it back and forth so it keeps building and building. So what I learned was that no longer am I allowed to work with these 3D people because they hurt me. So So I have a boundary now. Once I created that boundary of protection, so if that 3D box rocks a person has to die to get consciousness, then that's the path they're going to have to take. But that does not mean they can use me as a doormat so that they can keep playing their 3D paradigm. I'm putting down a boundary. And the most craziest thing is that once you identify that mirror, reflection of what you need to create in your own environment internally to protect yourself and move forward, you start getting these synchronicities of approval. And what happened to me is once I identified that I was literally a doormat for unhealthy people, and I put up that boundary and I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do to protect myself, and I have to put up this wall. I'm not going to be sucked into this anymore. I had probably 5 phone calls the next day of NDs that had discovered the same thing and have also put up boundaries. And what happened was, and then the next day it even grew, and the next day it grew, and then I started finding all this other stuff out about all these other environments that will no longer accept the people playing that 3D paradigm to take advantage of other people. So now what we do is, they're not even aware, we have a questionnaire now. We know what to look for in those 3D box of rocks. And so we go through our questions and we have certain trigger points, and if they set it off, then we go, okay, this person, even though I'd like to help them, but I can't because they're going to victimize me because that's their paradigm. So I just turn them away and let them go and find somebody else. Or eventually nobody's going to help them. And now they're going to have to look at themselves, and they've really railroaded themselves into a corner, and then they're going to have to try to get out. I feel sorry for them, but I don't want you to inflict pain and injury on me because I am a loving individual. I have a duty to protect myself. So did I answer that okay for you?
That's one. Yeah, that's a very practical expression of the approach. What I found most interesting about what your story there, Sam, was that it was when you realized that you need to make boundaries, suddenly you're then on the frequency of all the other people who have made boundaries, and that you attracted yourself into the group by tuning into a different frequency. Instead of being victimized, you made the choice. You're in the zero point. You then, instead of being, oh, poor me, it's right, okay, well, I need to do something about this. It's like, it's just normal. It's just, like, practical to do something about something that hurts you, isn't it?
Yeah, but the old me might have gotten mad and went after the 3D box of rocks. The old me might have went and called the cops and created all kinds of drama and filled out a police report and got a restraining order, and that's all more negativity and a waste of time. But the new me and my new consciousness went, nope, boom, you're gone. And also I learned from it, and now none of those people are going to come into my world anymore. So it becomes very, very simple. So I don't have to spend all my energy keep diving into these people and learning the lesson over and over and over again. And instead of spending weeks, months, or years dealing with that situation, but a different person, maybe a different tie, a different story, but it's still the same thing, I now spent maybe a couple weeks at it. I got it. I'm moving on, and I've shut down. That part of my life will no longer be experiencing that 3D box of rocks drama, because I know that no matter who comes into their arena is going to be exposed to this negativity, drama, whatever they create. And other NDs or natural healers, even chiropractors in my town now, we're all starting to get together and discuss this. nobody is willing to accept that in our lives anymore. We are all looking and open to the 5D consciousness. And whether or not it's labeled that by everybody, but that's basically what it is. We're looking for humble, loving, reciprocal, respectful people. And they don't have strings attached.
So that's the other thing that is being broken at this moment. Like, you know, you use the phrase, and I think it's, from what I'm learning, and probably from something you've always known because you see these things, is strings attached are literal strings attached on higher dimensional planes where people feed off each other. This is probably something that you used to do, but you don't do anymore because there's other approaches. I'm just coming into contact with the idea of cords and of cutting them up and resealing the etheric body and everything like that. So,
I have some great stories on this.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sure you've got. Yeah.
Okay, you're gonna love this. I study business and marketing, so I'm always looking at trends, and people are just fascinating. So I always study people. I go on to dating sites, too, to see what paradigms people are projecting to suck people in. I always call it their hook. I'm always looking for people's hook. And the way that the hook works is that they have not developed in other areas of their life. They're not financially stable. They're not educated. These are things that I think is important, and maybe you think something else, but I like people that are educated, whether or not it's a school, a degree, I don't care, but I like people that read, and I like people that are aggressive and motivated to go beyond this restricted paradigm and keep learning, people that are healthy and stuff like that. So anyway, when people have not completed these different facets of their life, they create these hooks. They make hooks, which means that don't look at this over here that I have not developed, but I make a lot of money. So there's my hook. And then once they get you sucked in with that hook, then you find out, oh my God, that they're abusive, they're this or that. So everybody, that not the 5D consciousness, because we just lay it out there. Here we are, you know, and yeah, I might be disabled in this area, but I'm working on this. But the 3D box of rocks people always has a hook. And what I'm learning now is that there are a lot of men that, and I don't mean to generalize all men because it's not. There's a few guys that I've seen. They live with their moms. They can't get a job or hold down a job. They're not well educated. They're not even motivated to learn more. So they will hook you in by saying, well, I'm a good cook. I'm a chef. I can cook for you. So they are looking for a woman to complete them, to bring in a house, to bring in financial stability, to give them that other side of their identity that they deny to work on themselves, but they're going to hook you in with, I can cook, so that you can complete them. Another hook that I've seen is, this one's really bad, people that have not, and it's becoming more obvious that, you know, everything's being shut down with the economy and jobs and stuff. Another one is sex. You would be shocked at how many men now are soliciting like prostitutes to women. More women own homes than men do because men didn't find it important or wasn't of value. And women were nesters, so we spend our money on homes. And so now these guys that are in their 50s or 60s and they still don't own a home, or if they do own a home, it's like a shack or it's a trailer or something. And you'd be shocked at how many guys right off the get-go on a dating site will start talking about their member and how big it is and how they like to do this or that and how they're going to sexually please you. And they're not even worried about a relationship values or if there's a connection. They just, boom, jump right in and start trying to solicit the fact, never mind, I'm not developed, I'll give you sex. And so that's another hook that's out there. Another hook would be even women. I see women where they pretend to be this docile woman and they're going to be a chameleon and they're going to cook for you and clean for you and take care of you. And then they hook you in because they're a nurturer. And then you get with them and you find out that they're really trying to scam you for your money. They're going to set you up for a lawsuit. I have a lot of my male friends. I have a lot of guy friends, and I like to look after them, and I always kind of tell them, hey, this one's kind of a psycho. But we've set up companies where we have diverted their assets so that the woman can't access them. But after a year or 2 years, you'll see the woman concoct some story and go after the guy with a lawsuit. They start talking about, you know, medical problems and duress, and then it comes out that they want $75,000 a year because they cooked for them, they cleaned. And these are women that can't work, or they don't have a good career title or something like that. So they try to put together these lawsuits to victimize men and to give over their money because they fell for the hook. So we really need to be sitting back and looking at what hook are people throwing at us to suck us into their paradigm. If you can find and start making a list of it, I'm going to write a book on this because I find it fascinating, the different hooks that people use.
The book of hooks.
It's always the, huh?
The book of hooks.
Yeah, the book of hooks. It's fascinating to me to see how. And then be careful of the ones that are here's a good one. Oh, the energy people that pretend to be 5D. You know, they talk about energy and the Buddhas, and they go to these retreats. And, you know, we saw the same thing with the light worker. Oh, we're a light worker, and we're so spiritual, and we burn candles and blah, blah, blah. And then you find out that it's only a hook. They know enough about the language to throw it out there to entice you, but once you start talking to them, you start seeing where they'll all of a sudden flip on you and say, well, don't talk about this because I don't know anything about that. Or I don't want to discuss any issues that I don't agree with because then that's negativity. Or don't, you know, they'll make a claim about something, so you go to correct them, and then they get angry with you because you are creating a right and a wrong, and they're now wrong, which means that that's a negativity. So these are mind control games that they use to put you in an abusive situation.
When
so
you
as
call
soon
them.
As, what?
When you've called them on their BS.
Yeah, and then they'll get very volatile. That's another thing that always kind of exposes these hookers, is that they, when you call them on their bluff, they get very volatile. A 5D person won't. A 5D person will go, let me sit back and look at that and see if it resonates with me. And then they might come back and go, you know, that was a good point. I see how I can learn from that. A 3D box of rocks won't. They don't want you to look at anything that they're not comfortable with, or if you expose them, you better be running because they get very angry and hostile. They'll start calling you names and putting you down so that they can get control over you again. So as soon as I feel that control net come out where they want to, they're going to jump on me, then I know, okay, this is a 3D box of rocks. Back away really slow and then run like hell because you don't want to be anywhere near them. And there's another one that you guys need to be aware of, and that is the Western medicine addict. There are people that are addicted to Western medicine, and if that's what they want to experience, I understand it, because it's pretty boring in heaven all the time, swinging your legs off of a cloud and enjoying white and clean and everything. So we come down here to enjoy it, but just be careful, because people that take a lot of Western drugs, they have chemicals in it to alter your brain waves, and it will create an ulterior or an alternative personality type that can become very bipolar thinking or schizophrenic or something. They just detach mentally or multiple personalities. And if somebody wants to enjoy that, it's their free will. You know, knock yourself out. But that is just another hook that I always look for, because it goes with that paradigm. I'm sick, take care of me. And then you find out that they take all these drugs, and that is also a hook to get you to feel sorry for them and take care of them or whatever.
So essentially, you're talking about a drug addict personality.
Yeah, yeah.
And
alcoholic too.
Alcoholic. It's the same. I mean, it's in the rays. We call it the sixth ray, and that's the one that dives into the bottle. It is the liquid one. It's the emotional one, and it's the result of the poor me 0 point choice. You know, that we get to that 0 point, we go to the poor me, or we can, let's have a look at that. And that's I think so many moments of this 0 point happen in our days. It could be just a tiny little thing. And we just start getting used to, instead of saying, oh, that always happens to me, just to think that it's going to be a different choice this time. I'm going to actually making a choice about it, rather than letting something flow over you.
Exactly. And you don't need to wait. Once you start identifying these hooks, you'll become less engaged to be around them and more apt to find the 5D consciousness, more of the Christ consciousness and the loving frequency and the give and take. You know, again, there's balance with everything. You're not going to have a perfect relationship because then there's no growth. There has to be a give and take. One person leads, one person follows, then you switch. Or you continue to grow together, but there is this freedom within the relationship to grow. And in most relationships, there aren't. JP, I really want to put this out. I just want to run this experiment with people on dating sites to start putting that they're intuitive, that they're psychic, because I'm curious how many of those box of rocks are going to take a hike if they know that you're psychic and you can pick up on their hooks right from the beginning. So I want to do a little experiment. And the other thing, listen, this is how the duality thing works. If you know of somebody, you'll find out when you're reading those listings, and I'm just generalizing to the dating sites because it's so obvious and apparent, but you'll see people that will say, no drinking at all, ever, not for drinking at all. The flip side is that person used to be an alcoholic, so they cannot be around alcohol because underneath their layers, they're afraid of going back to alcohol. So even in their listings, it's duality. It's the flip. So they're doing it right there, so it's really obvious. The other thing is, too, is that a lot of people that go to those AA meetings, they're very vulnerable. And that's why they use escapism to drink. And those AAA meetings are target places for victimizers. They head right there. Just like at the schools, those kids are so impressionable. And instead of protecting the kids, it migrates, or it's a magnet-like for all these pedophiles, because it's an easy place to find victims. So we need to start looking at our institutions and how it's actually attracting the very thing that it's supposed to be repelling. And I want to see what happens if people start saying, hey, I'm really intuitive and I can read energy and I see auras and I can tell people's thoughts. I want to see what happens. I think we're going to stop a lot of these mind games right now if people know that we can see right through them. And I am one of them. I can, but I play dumb a lot just because I like to analyze and watch what's going on.
Yeah, I always joke about this. I think I put it on one, actually. But it's male seeking female, 53, must be up to speed with reptilian agenda, government corruption, and sovereign rights, or something like that. I don't get many. I didn't get many responses.
But you know what? I do the same thing, but the reason why I do it is not because I'm attracting somebody. I'll have my pictures up, and so I get a lot of hits from my picture. Not to brag or anything, but I have some good pictures up. Anyway, the guys will go, and then they read my profile. And in my profile, I put a lot of keywords to wake people up. They never respond to me, but I know that they're reading that, and maybe they might not respond right then. Maybe I didn't wake them up, but I planted seeds in their subconscious mind that they're going to start seeing it over and over, and eventually they're going to start to wake up. So I do join dating sites to wake people up.
The secret dating site messiah. So... And so this brings us on to the perennial subject, because, you know, the one thing that most people, I would imagine, that come to you or that came to you as a psychic, that come to you, even still come to you, is when will I find my twin flame? When will I finally be adored and loved? And this is the big, that really does me in, I tell you what. When somebody says, I just want to be adored, you know. Really? Okay, be adorable then. Because it's expecting something that there's no reciprocation for. Do you understand what I mean? People have these very, unrealistic ideas about what they expect and want from a love relationship, and that they're missing out on an awful lot of life. What do you think of that?
Again, it's external. They need somebody to complete them, so they want to meet their twin flame. The fact is the zero point frequency attraction for your twin flame is that you've worked on yourself. You continue to work on yourself. You're a secure person. You no longer need your twin flame, because you adore yourself, you love yourself, and when you get into that state of mind, that's when you attract your twin flame. It's kind of like Albus Dumbledore. He creates all these spells. The people that need this stuff, you're never going to get it. The people that, just like my psychic ability, I never wanted to be psychic. Never. I never wanted to be a medium or, oh my God, are you kidding me? Growing up with that was just horrendous. Nobody would listen. But the fact is I got slammed. And any time that I don't want anything and I push it away because that's what I get the key for. That's what I get to walk into. So think of this universe is set up, and the key codes to get what you want is by not wanting it at all. Once you become content and happy with everything that you have, that's when you're in that zero point frequency and the doors start opening and things come in. So you can imagine what you want, but if you need it, you'll never get it. The universe is set up to give you everything that you imagine, but you don't need it. You're content. You're appreciative, you're in status quo, happy, happy, happy with what you have, and that's how you get to that zero point frequency, and you open up all those doors that you want in your life. That's the key.
I'll just let that sink in for a little while.
Okay. The other thing is, too, is that when you are in happiness, love, laughter, that's when you turbocharge everything that you imagine in your brain to bring to you, that you'd like to experience. There's a difference. When I really want to experience something or have something happen in my world, I can actually manifest rain, and I know other people can do this too, but when I am manifesting something like that, I don't do it for myself. I don't say, oh, I need to water my plant and this is all about me, so bring my water. I don't do it like that. If I want to manifest something and I want to do it right now, I do it for the people. I do it because I want to manifest rain out there, because there's a lot of people that need rain and they have gardens and they need help. So I manifest for the people. And that's really where you start getting your power, is when you do it for other people and not yourself.
Service to others, indeed. Dr. Muggsy, it's been a real pleasure getting back in touch with you. I can't remember the last time we spoke. It was months ago, but a lot has happened. And we've gone up the octave here, haven't we?
Yeah, we've turned the corner, believe it or not. I know that there's a lot of negativity and all this, oh, they're going to open up Hades on the 27th, please. I'm going to start laughing. Anyway, that is all drama stuff. As it's kind of like their farewell party, basically. These guys aren't going to be around anymore, because we're actually getting the directions how to use our brain. We got the DNA that's being turned on. We got the solar flares happening. We got some really exciting things that are concrete proof that we're evolving into these co-creators. So I would like to say to everybody out there, please don't take life so seriously. If you can help other people, that's where your power is going to be. That's where the gratification is going to be. Take time to learn. Don't be told what to think. Think for yourself. And always keep everything internal, because that's where you're going to find that zero point frequency so you can manifest the life that you really want to live.
Oh, there we go. I'm going to fade up my mic and say it again. I'm going to say thank you very much, Dr. Muggsy.
You do.
Nice. I do every show. There's one moment when I mute the mic, and luckily that was just a very short one before I noticed that I was talking and the fader wasn't going. I use a mixing desk, so it's a fader mixing board. Anyway, we're going to say au revoir for the moment. To Dr. Muggsy, and I'm just going to put on a lovely little, this is, if this is, everybody can get up and dance and do their Middle Eastern dance, or even if you can't get up, do your hip-shaking, groovacious thing to this. This is some, actually, I don't know what it's called. It's a sort of Arabic kind of, just shut up, Jeremy. Thank you very much, Sam. Good night. Hello and welcome back. That was some Orient House. I don't know the name of the track, because as far as I'm concerned, somebody had the CD. She played it at a party one night, and I said, can I have a copy of that? And it just came out as track one, track two. So I don't know who it was, but I think it's a fantastic track. I love it. It's that kind of cross between Western and Eastern and all that kind of great stuff. That really is kind of, we need to bring more of the unity factor rather than the disunity to that particular zone at the moment. Anyway, having said that, having discussed that far-ranging and very interesting conversation with Dr. Muggsy, we now are joined by Dr. Galanti. And I'm not kidding either. She's so clever. She's more clever than you. You know, like you put about nine people together, and she's more clever than that. And not only that, she's got a great sense of humour. She's funny, and she talks London. So my second guest tonight on my dual goddess ever beyond special is Katie Galanti. Hi, Katie. Welcome back.
JP, how are you doing, sweetie?
I'm all right. It's quite a day. So tonight it's a goddess moment. I was first of all playing earlier on this evening Robert Morning Sky with Rebecca Jernigan. It's talking about the Ladies of Fire, the idea that we're all, you know, this is a feminine energy, you know, the whole earth thing is feminine. We are all feminine, and there are some modified feminines which we call male, but we're all feminine, and it's a whole matriarchy business going on, and it's that's part of the whole change that's going and happening now. And that's, you know, this is the empowerment of women and all of these wonderful things that are going on.
Yeah, and actually I have you know, if you notice, a lot of the people that are bringing in the spiritual element at this time are female, right? It seems that a lot of the males gravitate more towards the kind of more info warrior type of thing, right? And the females are the ones that carry more of the psychic thing. That's not universal across the board, but it seems to be kind of like a rule of thumb. And I've actually had some thoughts about that, you know, because ultimately at the soul level, we're not male, we're not female, right? We're just souls coming into bodies, but there must have been a reason for which some souls chose a female body and some souls chose a male body, right? And I think that part of it has to do with the genetic modification that I believe happened to the human body a very long time ago, probably around Atlantis, but probably even before that, right? Where I think they kind of downsized the human body because we were all male, female, 12 dimensional, you know, wired to be 12 dimensional, wired to have all of this DNA that was active. And then they kind of dumbed it down, right, to two strands that were functional, and I believe that in that process they kind of switched off as much as they could from both of the genders, but that they had to leave certain things open in the female, because if you're going to procreate, you have to have an emotional connection to the child, because children that don't have an emotional connection or a psychic connection with the mother literally die. I mean, there was stories years ago about the Romanian babies that weren't hugged or held, do you know what I mean? And they developed all sorts of problems, and a lot of them even died from isolation, right, from emotional isolation. So I think that, you know, that is why there's a lot of souls that have decided to come into a female body that want to do more, like that want to embody more of the spiritual type work, because somehow those channels are already a little bit more open, right? And I'm not saying that they're better or worse, but I think that we got genetically modified in a slightly different way that allows for that kind of access. And I had that thought several times, and it feels accurate to me, but, you know, I'm me, so it's my thought. It feels accurate to me. So I don't know if it's true or not. It's just the theory, okay?
Well, you are, I mean, let's not say, you know, you're not just a dizzy blonde or a dizzy redhead. You're a physicist. You understand the scientific process. When you have a feeling, there are ways that you actually kind of check outside to check that you're perceiving in the correct way, don't you?
Yes. It seems to me, even as a healer, when I work with people, that very often the females have more of the third eye stuff going on. They also have more damage in their second chakra and in their third chakra. So I'm not saying that the females are better than the males. I'm just saying that energetically they're structured slightly differently, so that the, you know, certain channels are more open, others are more closed. And I think traditionally on this planet, at least during the last round, right, because there's been several cycles of humanity on this planet, of which we in recorded history, we've talked about it many times, we only have awareness and knowledge of the last one, right, of the current one that we're in. But there's been other ones before, I think Michael Tellinger is one of the people that has kind of looked into some of the older, you know what I mean, the evidence of the older cycles, right? But, it seems to me that, you know, that the females have been set up for one, genetically modified for one purpose, and the males have been genetically modified for different purposes, and mostly the males were supposed to work, they're supposed to, you know, go to war, they're supposed to, you know, do the power thing and so on. So that is what has been more empowered for the males, and for the females it's been more, you know, the reproductive thing and so on that requires other channels to stay open. So, but definitely at the moment we are actually going into integration, and the going into integration means that the female has to come back, because the female has been very repressed over the ages, right? Now we're getting to the point that the males are feeling repressed. Like I'm hearing a lot from men that actually feel that they are repressed also. And I think it's because the feminists have bashed them up a little bit too much, do you know what I mean? And our friends, the Rockefellers, gave them, you know, it made the feminists and the feminist mindset into a male bashing mindset that then...
Oh, Katie Galante, thank you so much. Can you just say that very, very slowly for people one more time? And just let's get this, put the bottom line underneath it and move on. Thank you, please.
Right. Well, the feminist movement was actually sponsored by the Rockefellers, right? They, and if you listen to the interview of, what was the first name of that guy, Russo, the filmmaker? Aaron Russo. So, and he was best buddies with one of these Rockefellers, right? And if we are to assume that what he said was true, which I believe probably was, because he died very soon after saying it, okay, of cancer, and we know that the powers that be can actually provoke cancer in people now, right? But anyway, Aaron Russo came out and basically released like a 2-3 hour interview in which he talked about a lot of the things that he learned through his friendship with one of the Rockefellers, right? They actually became buddies, and they exchanged, you know, ideas, conversation, and so on for a short while. And he then came out, and I think he was in an interview with Alex Jones, kind of spilled the beans about everything that he had learned. And one of the things that he learned was the fact that the feminism was sponsored by the Rockefellers. And I'm going to specify in a minute what I mean by feminism. But it was sponsored by the Rockefellers, and that the idea behind it was to create a division between the males and the females so that there would be a split in the family. And also, if you think about it, the male-female is actually the seed pod of love. If you have a male-female that actually really love each other, that are completely supportive of each other, that empower each other, then you have really healthy offspring, right, that are also going to do the same. Within a couple of generations, you have a very empowered humanity, okay? So that is based in love, that is based in integrity, that is based in, that doesn't have trauma, right, and all of these kinds of things. And instead, if you fragment that, right, and there's several sources that talk about the deliberate fragmentation of the male-female bond and of the family, right? If you fragment that, then you have traumatized children, and you also have no stability. I mean, I've actually experienced this in my own life, that now it's hard to create stability in relationships. Like, people have relationships for, you know, a number of years, and then they divorce, or they break up or whatever, and then they start all over again. Now, while there is a karmic clearing aspect to all of that that actually does serve a purpose, right, because we are in this wrap-up ascension time, so there's a need to encounter a lot of people to clear up karma, on another level, it's a very disruptive process, because you don't get to create stability. You have to constantly, do you know what I mean? You have to constantly recreate something. And so the foundation is, it could be stronger if there was a relationship that is actually really strong and supportive, that creates a really strong foundation from which you can then go out as a team and do all sorts of things, right? So the powers that be put a lot of energy into splitting that, also separating children from their parents and splintering the extended family. You know, making life very expensive for everybody so that you can no longer look after your own. And most people send their elders to nursing homes. Do you know what I mean? They put stuff in the food so that the elders get Alzheimer's, so they can't remember anything that they learned, right? So they can't pass it down to anybody, right? So, and all of this fragmentation is there to basically create a very weak society that is very traumatized and very easy to exploit. And also, one of the other reasons for which they created feminism was because they wanted both the male and the female to go to work so that there could be double taxation instead of single taxation, right? And they then structured the work so that it was not a choice for the male and the female for one of them to stay home. So both have to work. And even with both parents working, still many families are struggling, right? And so it just creates more of this survival first chakra kind of disruption, right? So the feminism, by feminism, I'm not saying that there was not a need for women to be empowered, and because the society that came before was very patriarchal and not necessarily in a good way, right? And the women have very few rights. So I'm not saying that what was going on before was good. I'm just saying that when it was time, it's the usual hijacking of consciousness and hijacking of movements, right? When it was time for the women and the feminine energy and the divine feminine and the goddess to come out of the box to play, here you have the Rockefellers that bring in this very militant kind of feminism that is anti-male, male bashing, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the male bashing is not so great for the males, but it's not great, so great for the females either, because in a climate of male bashing, there is no love. And so the women are actually being conditioned to almost like see the males in a very negative light. And by doing that, without realizing it, they are also creating rifts so that partnership is actually harder to have, right? And on top of that, another thing that happened kind of in the 60s is that there was like the sexual liberation, do you know what I mean, all of that kind of stuff. And so... And there was another blow in some ways to solid relationship, because in theory the whole sexual liberation was about women being able to experiment sexually and so on, but actually one of the results of that is that there's much less commitment in relationships, because if you read some of the Mars-Venus type stuff, men and women and how they bond, men need to bond emotionally. They don't bond through physicality. They bond through time spent with somebody that they care about, and over a period of time they bond emotionally, but it takes a longer time for the male to do that. And women instead bond often through sexuality. They bond very quickly, even physically. There's the whole oxytocin thing, do you know what I mean? And energetically there's the cording that happens at the sexual level. And women are almost like biologically programmed to bond through the sexual experience. So you have sexual experiences that happen way too soon in the relationship, like immediately or within a couple of days, do you know what I mean, from meeting somebody or whatever, in a lot of cases, especially the younger generations. And then, so then you have males that don't bond with women that bond prematurely, right? Which creates all sorts of issues. It creates commitment issues for a start. It creates dependency issues for the women. And generally speaking, it makes relationships start on a very in a very easy way, but in a way that does not actually support later stages of the relationship. So all of these things, I believe, were brought in deliberately to disrupt the male-female union. And the purpose behind it was because I think the male-female union, when it's done properly and it's done from a place of love and a place of empowerment and responsibility, is actually a very strong unit. And it's a strong unit where the male can be supported by the female and the female can be supported by the male. But then also it's a powerful unit in terms of children coming into the world with a much stronger support system and less trauma and so on, right?
So yeah, that's true. On the other hand, the fact that humanity, the spirit of humanity, continues to manifest its health through that process, we've now come to the point of creating what are called intentional communities, which are like families of people who like each other. Because all the great things about the family, but there are some things about families that suck. And what I think what we're trying to do is to create a way of humans to live together that may not have been born in the same race. We're all mangled up, you know. There's refugees, all sorts of. But everybody needs integration. Somehow we need to be able to gather according to our feather, you know, like birds of a feather gather together. And that's so true. I'm watching my chickens. It's great fun. Anyway, I'm now learning what henpecked means. My rooster is being henpecked by my previously bullied girls. Oh dear! You know, this is there's a microcosm going on here. Yeah, it's the peckled hen's revenged.
Excellent. Yeah, and you know the solutions. What you're talking about is, it's like, okay, so where do we go from here? And these are some of the solutions that are coming out, right? And I think that we've talked before about the fact that the dark side is always catalyst. At least if you use it appropriately, the dark side is catalyst. So if, and by that I mean that in the grand cosmic design, right, the dark side is almost like an obstacle. It's like the sand in the oyster, right? That then creates the pearl. It's like it's the obstacle that then you're faced with. And if you understand, that triggers you into finding new ways, new solutions, and also triggers you into going to the next level of consciousness. Because if there were not a dark side that gives you grief, you would also not necessarily invest all of the time and energy into overcoming that and into finding a way to go beyond that, right? And so even all of this situation that we are in right now, in which we have all of these, you know, the powers that be and all the rest of it, I mean, if there were no powers that be, most of us would just be, you know, doing our own lives without really thinking about the global collective picture that much, right? But because there is this threat of the powers that be, then all of us on the planet, we're all kind of organizing and thinking and brainstorming and trying to go to the next level, right? So that's the positive side of the powers that be. There's not that many of them, but that's one of them. Right? And, you know, and even this whole male-female thing, it's not that what was there before was fantastic either. And through this particular, you know, challenge and so on, we will be stimulated into finding new things. It's almost like the schooling that is all programmed has created homeschooling and people getting together to educate outside of the paradigm altogether, right? So all of these crises also give an opportunity to create something new, and that is actually the best use of the crises. Right.
Yeah, that's the use of the zero point, you know, because the crisis right. is when you discover that, that's not what I thought it was. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of crises, you know, just change the subject slightly. And we don't have to go into massive detail about this, but I just, because you and I talked at around like lunchtime, 1 o'clock, and people may know this or not, but I've just come back from being away for a month, and yesterday I was traveling all day, so, and I was, didn't know I was going to be on the radio, so I was just thinking through, okay, so what's been going on in this month in which I've been kind of off the, you know, radar kind of speak, kind of thing, right? And especially right now, there's quite a lot going on. There's this whole Ukraine thing that has been boiling for a while, right? And now we have the Malaysian flight number 17 that has crashed, apparently taken down by a missile that the USA blames the Russians for. Okay, so the USA, and actually Obama came out today saying that USA intelligence is pretty much certain that it was the Russians supported rebels that kind of took down this plane, right? And then we also have the whole situation in Gaza with the Israel-Gaza and what's going on over there. Then we have the children that are coming from Central America that are crossing the border or trying to cross the border and then getting detained. And I don't know if you heard about that, but there's like 60,000 of these children. It's not like a few children, right? It's like a migration, a grand migration of children. And apparently, according to some kind of like more conspiracy type sources, these children were actually kind of encouraged to come, and they were told that Obama was going to support them, and they were giving them things like tennis shoes with Obama pictures and "Yes, we can" written all over them, right? So there's definitely some kind of agenda going on there. Not sure exactly that I'm exactly clear about what the agenda is, but whenever you bring in a lot of extraneous energy into a situation, you always create some kind of destabilization, right? So I would put this in terms of another wave of destabilization of the USA, which I really truly believe, having looked at some of the astrology especially, because Pluto is opposite the USA sun right now, which is the birth sun of the USA. And also we are coming up against a Saturn-Neptune square, right, which is coming at the beginning of next year. And Saturn-Neptune is interesting because it seems to actually coincide with a lot of endings of regimes and endings of... Because Neptune is all about illusion. It's about vision, but it's also about...
belief systems.
Yeah, belief systems. But it's also about spiritual gurus. It's like... the glamours. It's almost like the glamours of Alice Bailey, right? So it can be a lot of different things. And when Saturn comes in, Saturn is like, well, sorry, it was nice, your little idea, but we have to flush it down the toilet now, right? Or you're going to be confronted with the reality of the limitations of your vision, right? And so, for example, the Saturn-Neptune were in aspect when the Berlin Wall came down, and when at the end of the USSR, right, at the beginning of the end of the USSR, which actually happened very fast from a outer world perspective, it did. And believe it or not, I was actually there when it happened. I was in Russia in 1990 as a student, physics student, in exchange with Moscow University. So now in hindsight, I can see why I was there, because I needed to see this. I needed to see the end of the USSR, right? And at the time, I didn't know what had hit me, because I was there for like 3 weeks and there was no food. So I think I lost something like 25 pounds in 3 weeks. I could have been on an episode of Survivor. We probably ate about 5 times in 3 weeks, right?
Oh, my God.
There was no food. There was just no food. You couldn't buy it anywhere. There was no food in the shops, right? And I also believe that I witnessed the beginning of the Russian mafia, in the sense that wherever we had to go to get food, because we had money, we had to interact with these really shady characters, right, that were kind of emerging almost as black market figures, as at, because the whole structure of all of this world was crumbling, right? So it was a very interesting experience. All that we could find easily was vodka, so we drank a ton of it, but it was really greasy vodka that tasted like oil.
It sounds like it wasn't. It was more like some sort of petroleum distillate.
That's right.
Gross. Well, you survived it, but at what cost? You know, you could have had 8 PhDs instead of 7.
That's right.
My God, she's brain damaged. Yeah. Oh, poor love.
We did a lot of singing. I will never forget washing my hair, because there was no hot water, right? And this is Russia. It's cold in Russia. So if you have no hot water, your water is really cold. So I had long hair even at the time, so I had to wash my hair with this metal bucket and filled it in with water in the student house, and the water was just icy. So I literally could just dip my head into the water, take it out, put the shampoo on, dip it into the water again, and then dry it with as fast as possible without getting pneumonia, right? It was not a fun process. I think I washed my hair only twice in the 2 weeks, because you could literally feel the veins in your head freezing out. So anyway, but it was interesting just as a process to watch all of that, because it was literally like stepping into a world that was about to fall apart and decay. And that was during during a Saturn Neptune transit at the time, but I can't remember in what signs, but it was a Saturn Neptune thing going on right there. So, people have been, my sense is that the USA has been programmed for a fall for quite some time. And for a fall doesn't mean that the USA is going to stop existing, but it may stop existing in the exact form that that is around right now. There may, it may be due for like a restructuring of some kind, right? So I think it's kind of interesting that there's this, I believe, kind of manufactured influx of all of these new energies, putting even more pressure on the system at this particular time, and who knows whatever else agenda is around that, okay? And all of these things that are happening right now on the planet, all of them, to some degree, feel manufactured. Like this Malaysia thing, this Malaysia flight that just went down in Russia, right? Both sides are saying that the other people did it, okay? So the rebels are saying that the Ukraine government sent up the missile, and the USA and the Ukraine government are saying that the rebels did it, which means the Russians, because these are Russian-backed rebels, right? So why would they take... And also, apparently, there's some high strange around this event as well, because if you look at the pictures of the downed plane, they are... A lot of bodies around these pictures, but the bodies are actually not mangled in with the debris. They're all kind of neatly to the side. And all of the debris is charred and the bodies are not. And the bodies are in rapid state of decomposition? I don't know the word.
Decomposition, anyway. Yeah. No, yeah. And the other thing is that they're exsanguinated. There's no blood in them.
No blood, okay. I even had a friend that suggested that this may be the same plane, the 370 one that disappeared, and maybe they just plopped it back there.
I wouldn't disagree with that one. It's just too convenient. There's far too many sevens.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all like, oh, shiny seven, shiny seven, seven, shiny seven. And it's like, mm-hmm. Don't look at Gaza. Which
Absolutely.
Is, you know, which is, let's, because really that's the big problem in the world. And if we can't talk about the energy behind that, then I don't think we're doing the right service.
I agree. And before we go on to Gaza, which is most definitely the next piece here, right? This event, right, with the Malaysia flight and everything, there's two things that kind of stand out. One of them, Robert Phoenix on Free Association Radio, he had a guest who's called Ellis something, who's a numerologist, that pointed out that July 17th that is when this happened, and it's also when the Gaza thing started really escalating, is the birthday of ISIS. Okay? So both the event that had to do with the plane and the escalation of the Gaza experience happened during the supposedly birthday of ISIS. And I went on the internet to check if this is true, and there's about 15 different sources saying July 17th is the birthday of ISIS, right? Now, that is also called, for some reason, the Night of the Cradle. I have no idea why. More internet research required to understand that. And then the other thing is that apparently on that same day, Putin was coming back from this BRICS summit, right? And BRICS stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And apparently one of the themes of the summit was to create a BRICS bank that was a way to walk away from loans from the World Bank and from the IMF, right?
Flipping the bird to the Fed, indeed.
That's right, basically, worldwide. World Bank and the IMF, goodbye. And literally to the point that they were kind of redefining themselves as a anti-American and anti-World Bank group, right? So they've just gone to this thingy, you know, in Brazil, apparently, this summit was taking place. And, you know, Russia has been talking for a while to go its own way with its own currency, etc. But at this particular point, they're literally talking about how to create a new bank that will generate loans for countries that don't want to play with the IMF and the World Bank, which we know are the sharks of the world, right? And here he goes, and he's flying home. And apparently, he too was supposed to fly over Ukraine roughly at the same time. And here we have who knows who sending a missile that takes down a plane and then blames it on the Russians, right? Do you know what I mean? That it's being blamed by the Americans as usual. They do all of their... And I'm not talking about Americans in terms of bad Americans. I'm talking about the elite, okay? I'm talking about the elite faction that works through the American government. And who is closely tied to Israel anyway, that and basically what they are saying with is that their intelligence knows that this was caused by the Russians, right? So here you have basically a warning, I think, going to the Russians saying, okay, you want to create your own bank that goes against the grand banks of the world, right? And the energies and people that are behind that, be very careful because we can take down your plane anytime, right? And in fact, they've done it before. Do you remember at some point they took down the plane of some Polish political person some years ago who was trying to do something that was kind of against the rules and took his plane down and all his cabinet within a very short period of time, right? So I think part of this is, as usual, they do events that serve many purposes at once. I think they're trying to trigger some kind of World War III, or at least there's one faction of the elite that are trying to do that. There's always been a faction of the elite that has wanted World War III. I'm not sure who exactly is in charge at the moment, but certainly there's a lot of fire at the moment going into the direction of world destabilization, right? And then, yeah, absolutely, then there is... At the same time at which this is happening, the whole Israel and Gaza thing starts escalating, which was, I believe, also provoked by a false flag, right? Because basically, what was it? The beginning of, I mean, it's been going on forever, but the beginning of this particular episode was the kidnapping of three students, right? And then by Hamas, supposedly. although apparently afterwards another group came out claiming that they did it, and this group was called ISIS. Did you know that?
Yep.
So we have the ISIS energy again, right? So,
and of course, if you put the letters ISIS all sort of one on top of the other, you get the dollar symbol, don't you?
Oh, really? Yes, that's true. That's true. Very good. I didn't know that, JB. That's good. So, yeah. And, you know, recently I actually had... Because you remember I talked about ISIS before on Out of the Box show. And I actually had a lot of backlash from saying that ISIS is not necessarily a good goddess to play with, right? I had people that sent me almost like, you know, people that I don't know, anonymous people on YouTube, that basically said that I don't understand anything about the goddess and I don't understand anything about ISIS, right?
I'm a bit of New Age hate mail, huh?
I got New Age hate mail, and actually one of them was like a pagan-y looking woman, right? And which is fine. And then I also had other people that asked me, oh, really? I shouldn't be playing with ISIS, so what other goddess am I not supposed to play with? So I just wanted to go there that I'm not an expert on ISIS, but the only thing that I can see is that it is one, ISIS is one of the goddesses of the Dark Elite. They bring ISIS, they roll ISIS out consistently in all of their videos, in, you know, it's an energy that is quoted often and referenced often. If you even look at the 2012 Super Bowl, that was a full ISIS ritual from beginning to end, right, with Madonna. I don't know if you remember that. And so, personally, I don't really want to, you know, I see this as a Dark Elite pantheon member, right? And I'm sure that energies can be accessed at many different levels depending on the level of consciousness of the person that accesses them, but it seems to me that this is an energy that is being quoted repeatedly by our friends of the dark t-shirts, right?
Right, I'm just looking down wearing a black t-shirt. Anyway.
But you know,
yeah,
what
you
I
know mean. What I mean.
Yeah, rather than calling them the bad guys.
Yeah, right, the bad guys. You know, the intergalactic mafia, OC, who have been chasing through time and space and finally we've nailed them. And we've got them in a corner. I mean, basically, here they are. They're in a corner. They're not nice people, and they're in a corner, and... there's a lot of exposure, but here's the thing, you know what? okay, so we think, okay, let's get rid of all the pedophiles, let's get rid of all the all this corruption, and we get rid of all these people, and then we realize that there's nothing left but the corporation.
Right.
This is one of the stark feelings that I had, and the corporation is pure tyranny. And what do you do about the corporation? Because then we discover that the corporation is the Nazi global empire that we've been that has been kind of building up for the last 60 years. So let's in the last 20 minutes, let's how do we deal with that within and without?
That's a very big question.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Sprung that one on you, didn't I? All right. So let's break it down a little to bite-sized chunks. I mean, been the plan of the Elders of Zion, and it seems to have been playing out, even though everybody says it's a fake. It's been playing out in our lifetimes.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. Okay. There is an energy behind the scenes, okay? Like, in some ways, how do you deal with the PTVs and the corporation and whatever you want to call it, right? Is that you sign out of the system. It's pretty much, that's the only way. if you pick up something and throw them a pebble, you're like David and Goliath, right? Like you're a small little tiny dude against this big gigantic thing, okay? And although I think in the Bible David won against Goliath, I can't remember how he did it. I think he must be very fast.
Smooth stones.
That's right.
Five smooth stones in his slingshot. So he used an incredibly low technology. You know,
yes.
Maybe Goliath had a ray gun. You know, he mm-hmm. may have had a phaser or a flash gun or some bit of technology because it's an ET and it might still be working. So to use very low-tech human-type things, you know, the old tricks are the best. You know, the old camouflage trap. The tripwire, yeah. They work every time.
Yeah. I think, you know, for us, it's like we've been doing part of it for some time. That is the educate piece, right? It's like, hey, look-see over here. Look at the magician behind the curtain, right? So part of it is what we have been doing for a while. That is basically to show that the emperor has no clothes. And that there's the magician behind the curtain, and basically to expose all of the programming and the secrets, right? So that's one way. However, as we can see, that way is not by itself enough. Because if it were, we'd already have solved this problem, right? Because now the powers that be, they don't even say anything. They let us just talk on the radio, because as long as that's all that we do is talk on the radio. I mean, yeah, sure enough, every now and then somebody tries to kill me through my third eye, but I'm still here. Do you know what I mean? And so are you, and so is everybody else. So it's almost as if we are being allowed now to just expose and talk and all the rest of it, because if that is all that we do, it's not enough. Okay? And so there is an issue around, okay, so what's the next step? Because if you attack in a kind of aggressive kind of way, really, they have it all figured out. They have, if you do the revolution, they have the counter-revolution, right? They have the infiltration of every movement. And if you do it with violence, they will do the anti-riot thing, and then before you know it, you'll be slammed into some kind of camp type thing, right? So that's not really a very smart way to go. But I do believe that it is possible to start building, like almost like signing out and building alternative ways of being. So for example, the whole grow your own food, the whole create communities where you can help each other live and survive, create your own schools, create your own education systems, all of these kind of things, right? And it's basically opt out and create something different to the side. And so that's one way. However, we have challenges with that too, because look at the grow your own food thing. All of these laws have come out saying you can't grow your own food. So now it's going to be illegal to grow carrots, right? Which is kind of funny, but not really, right? So, you know, I don't know what the solution is going to be. I think that the solution is going to come from the next generations. I was reading an article that I wrote some time ago, it is actually on my Facebook page because I reposted it. But I wrote this like 3 or 4 years ago. And I was looking at all of the different generations and their astrological signatures and kind of what their job has been, right? And our generation is the Pluto-Uranus generation in Virgo. And our job has pretty much been one of dismantling. We dismantle stuff. We look at reality and we break it apart. A lot of Pluto-Uranus people have become... were the people that actually created a lot of the programs for computers and so on. So it's like Pluto-Uranus is an energy that is able to deconstruct at a very microscopic, fine-tuned level. So very good for the software programming, computer industry, and all of that. That is pretty much a Pluto-Uranus baby, and at least in its widespread form, right? But it's also very good at breaking down what doesn't work. This doesn't work. This doesn't work. Virgo is very critical. This doesn't work. I don't like it. I don't like it. This is wrong. Pick it apart. Break it down. Rebuild. Right? But I think that we have been more in charge of the breakdown thing. It's like, this doesn't work. We have to do something about it. So that's our job. And then if you go further, there's several generations, but we get to the Pluto and Scorpio kids. And the Pluto and Scorpio kids, if I remember correctly, they have a very strong Neptune placement. I think there's the generation that comes in at some point that has the Neptune in Capricorn. I think it's the same ones as the Pluto and Scorpio. Anyway, those kids have a lot of power, and they also have very concrete ability to create a vision. Because Capricorn is very, very building in the world, and Neptune is the vision. And so that particular generation that I think were born in the 80s, early 90s, I think are going to be the ones that have the, late 80s to mid 90s. Those are the ones that have the Neptune in Capricorn. And those I think are going to be the ones that are going to have a lot of the solutions to all of this stuff. And you know, they are now in their mid-20s, in their late-20s, right? In 10 years from now, they will be in a position to really be coming of age with their stuff. Most generations come of age around the beginning of their 40s. It's almost like they have to go through things, and then once they come back to their first Pluto square, that is late 30s, early 40s, depending on the sign, then that generation kind of comes on age. Whatever it is that they were supposed to bring in, they start throwing it out into the world, right? So I think there is hope, but I think that the ideas and the true solutions, they haven't come yet. I don't think we have them yet all the way. We're still in this deconstruct phase, right? But I believe that we will get these ideas when we're supposed to have them, okay? Once we have kind of completed with this deconstruction thing. And astrologically, I think that this deconstruction thing is very much part of the Pluto in Capricorn phase that we're in, and we're going to be in the Pluto in Capricorn until 2024. So we have another 10 years, I think, in which we're dealing with the powers that be head on and I'm busy in tearing down this system, which obviously at this point everybody knows doesn't work, and everybody knows that there's been massive abuse of power around it, right? And it's becoming more and more obvious. But the process is not complete yet. We're only halfway through Pluto and Capricorn. So we still have some time to, you know, go through this process. Does that make any sense at all? I'm thinking in astrological terms.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, it's like, how long is this kind of thing last for? So you're basically saying that we're doomed to be ground to a fine powder and when you're talking about being able to deconstruct something, I really understand that because, you know, what I have to do in my work, you know, the programming is you have to model something very finely and carefully, and you start off with a very rough, and you kind of hone it down and shape it and form it until it takes the perfect form, you know, in a algorithm. That's what they call an algorithm, you know, when you've got something that will create a model. So you have to understand things, and then once you've deconstructed it, you see that as we're saying, you know, these are all mental constructs, and this is what the Matrix is all about, and all of these things. So the question is, in the last 10 minutes or so, what are the best ways that you've found work for you in getting to that core you, that core you self that is here to express?
In the context of the powers that be thing, or just
in your own world, but you know, Well, it's always in your own world, and how you've managed to overcome what apparently other people are trapped by things that they think the powers that be are out to get them with. Wow, sorry.
That's a good question, and I've thought about it before. And I think that there's several things here. First of all, I really do believe that some of us come here from other dimensional realities, right? So we choose a body, but we're actually not used to being here that often. So that helps, because in your soul memory somewhere, there's other realities that are not as screwed up as this one, right? And so there's a compare and contrast, I think, that goes on without even being conscious of it, okay? So I don't think that I was ever in the Matrix to begin with, right from the get-go. And as a child, and I'm going to be careful about how I say this, because I still have a lot of loyalty to my family, right? Even if they were challenging for me at some level, right? But, you know, I was born into a set of circumstances that was very, very complicated. And as such, I didn't really belong to my family, right? And then it got even more complicated. And there were, you know, trauma issues of various kinds. And one of the things that used to get me in trouble in that setting was that I could see things extremely clearly, even when I was like 5. Okay. And so I was almost like the kid that could see through the dysfunction, right? And as a result of that, I kind of became more of the object of that dysfunction, because in any kind of dysfunctional system, the dysfunctional system always tries to kind of squish the person that can see. Do you know what I mean? Because that threatens the survival of the dysfunctional system. So it's kind of like that in my early setup also, right? So I never really truly belonged. And also, when I was 9, right, 9 years old, nothing is by coincidence. This was obviously supposed to happen. But I ended up, my teacher, I was in primary school. That was the 5th year of primary school in Italy. And the teacher that was in charge of us for the first 4 years got sick. And so we got a substitute teacher for a year. And this substitute teacher was an anti-system rebel. She was very young. And, you know, she would be frowned upon by many people now, because she was actually supporting, openly supporting some of the terrorist groups that were doing terrorist stuff in Italy at the time. And I'm not saying that those were groups that were supposed to be supported, but she kind of made me think, even as early as that, for some reason we ended up in political discussions. And she was trying to say, well, not everything that you read on the news is the way that it is. These groups are actually trying to take down the democratical Christians who are supported by the mafia and by the Americans. And so they're being demonized by the media, but they're actually kind of the good guys that are trying to, you know, wake people up to this hegemony that has been in place since the end of World War II. Somehow, at 9 years old, I understood this. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how I ended up in this kind of debate, but I did, and I got it. And so, and in fact, I remember that my stepfather at the time got extremely angry, because he was like, this is not subject matter that should be discussed with a child. And he actually went and banged on the door of the substitute teacher, and they had a big grand old fight. Because I had been exposed to ideas that I was not supposed to be exposed to. So basically what I'm saying is my matrix got shattered really early. And at the end of that school year, one of the things that my parents decided to do, because obviously I was in their mind going down a path that was not quite right. So they stuck me in for 3 years in a school with the nuns, right? The Catholic nuns, who were, I hated that place. It was horrible. And so in some ways I was exposed again in that place about a lot of the hypocrisy of certain kinds of religious institutions. And by the time I was 12, I had organized a whole school strike with other two girls, and we made the school grind to a standstill for 3 months until eventually they had enough, and they basically called everybody's parents for some huge meeting, right? And my nickname at the time was Robespierre. That's what they called me, right? He's the leader
of the French. Looks like we've got ourselves a troublemaker.
That's right. But I was not really a troublemaker. I was just very vocal, right? And I didn't like injustice. And that was just a situation that, you know, for various reasons, I was seeing stuff that I was not okay with, and I was pointing it out. And because I had very high grades, I had kind of like an A-plus average in every subject, they couldn't really get rid of me, right? So, and I think that kind of made me feel that I could say whatever I wanted, right? Kind of smartass, right?
imagine somebody with power. Who can say what they like. Very good. Yep. So anyway, so you went around swinging the sword of truth hither and thither.
We've got
to come to the end, okay.
Yeah, I think that some of us just have it in us. I think that that is why we're here. We have the truth gene, we have it. And part of our job is to come here and look at stuff that doesn't work and change it. And if we follow that vocation, if you like, that is the purpose of our soul embodiment, we also get a lot of help from the higher realms. That's been my experience, that then source and the higher realms really kick in and help us in many different ways, right? So that's the end of my speech.
Katie Galanti, my sweet soul sister, it's been a fantastic show today. I've had, I was going to have... This big old guy and he didn't turn up. So I've been blessed with my sweetest, I had Sam Muggsy and Dr. Sam Muggsy and Dr. Katie Galanti, and just had the best conversations ever. So thank you very much. Welcome back, and we'll be joined by Frank Jordan any second after this. Hang on, where's my outro? There it is. Okay, good night, everybody. Meow.